You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what is up, folks? No, your calendar is correct. It is indeed a Friday, and yes, I am releasing an episode today. This episode is with the band The Brook and the Bluff. I got to record with them at Farewell Fest in Redmond, Oregon this summer, and there for a little while, I thought these files were corrupted and not going to be usable, but fortunately, I was able to find some tricks, get them off the hard drive, and I finally get to release them to you. Now, if you're a patron of the show, you've already heard these because they released a couple weeks ago, but now my interviews from Farewell Fest are finally out for public consumption. So this first one is with the whole band, The Brook and the Bluff. We sat down, we talked about their history, we kind of just geeked out and nerded out for a little bit. There was a lot of them, and I only had four microphones, so they passed around microphones, and we're just recording kind of back in the artist lounge area. It was a pretty fun experience, and I think you're going to enjoy this episode. I actually have another one coming up right after I upload this one, so look forward to two bonus episodes today. Huge thanks to Farewell Fest for having me out. That was a blast. I so enjoyed myself. We had a blast at the festival, and if you like country music, you should definitely get yourself to Redmond, Oregon, because they're going to do another one this summer, and I can't wait for them to release the lineup. So anyway, without further ado, let's get into this episode with The Brook and the Bluff. Let's go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tone Mob Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Weiland, and with me today, well, I have a lot of people, as you can see. I have The Brook and the Bluff, who would be these fellas right here. Why don't you take a moment, introduce yourselves, and we'll just launch into a tirade of nonsense.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm John. I play drums in The Brook and the Bluff. Mm-hmm.
I am Joseph. I sing and play the rhythm guitar.
Nice.
And I'm Kevin, and I play keyboard. Mm-hmm.
Fred Langford. Bass guitar.
I'm Alec, and I play electric guitar.
Those are very assertive. You know, that's what I like.
Likes to deliver a line. Yeah.
This is his time to shine.
Right? Yeah. Do you want to just like take over? Like we could do that. We're here at the Farewell Fest here in Redmond, Oregon, which I've been very excited about for months. And same. I've just been kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off today. But I did catch your guys' set. I was out there creeping, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seemed like, I don't know, you made some comments like, not used to this size of crowd, but it sure could have fooled me. It seemed like you were perfectly used to this size of crowd.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, are you telling the truth?
Yeah. I mean, actually, today specifically, I was telling the truth. I was having a weird time on stage.
Yeah.
For real. Yeah. I was like a little, I just like couldn't breathe well. So mm-hmm. It was just a weird one. I just tried to like dance it out or something.
You pulled it off.
Yeah.
You pulled it
okay,
together.
Cool,
all right.
Cool.
So that's no good. Yeah, no worries you. Here. You tricked me.
Okay.
I was like, this is just stage banter. He's just having a good time up here. It's not used to this dry Oregon air, though.
Maybe that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're, you know, the air is like super soupy and wet where we live. So
yeah.
Could have been the dryness.
We also had a day of travel yesterday to get here. Yeah. Yeah, we ended up like, we were going to basically end up in Oregon around like at our Airbnb at like midnight, mm-hmm. essentially. We ended up there at 3 a.m., which for us coming from Central Time is 5 a.m.
So yes.
Didn't get a lot of sleep, but we woke up in certainly a beautiful part of the country. So that nice. Helped rejuvenate
very
a
nice.
Little bit.
Well, what part of the world do you guys call home?
Nashville, Tennessee.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that. Okay, mm-hmm. I did some research. All right. Nashville's my home away from home. So,
oh, sick.
Yeah.
Very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to hang.
Yeah, absolutely. I go there
a
couple times a year.
Okay.
Yeah, to make sure the String Joy Boys aren't doing anything too crazy.
Absolutely.
So.
That's fair.
Do you do the whole Broadway?
No.
Shenanigans.
Yeah,
No. That was over long ago.
Likewise.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scary.
It's too much.
It's too much.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand it,
no.
really.
Oh, no.
I actually went there when I was like 11, and it was kind of more normal. You know,
yeah,
my
totally.
Parents took
People
me around,
say,
and I was
yeah.
like, this is cool. All right.
Yeah.
I went back, you know, almost 10, 15 years later.
Way before, like, Kid Rock had a bar.
Before Kid Rock had a bar. Even then, like, there was no Kid Rock bar.
Thank God.
And I was like, wow, it hasn't changed that much. I went back like 2 years later. I was like, what has happened to my beautiful place? I can't.
What have they done to my...
It is still beautiful, but it is. But things have happened.
It was like, well, look how they massacred my boy.
That's what I was trying to find, and I didn't find it.
This is pretty intense. But you guys always been in Nashville?
So actually, all of us are originally from Birmingham, Alabama. That's
okay,
where our name comes from. Yeah.
Oh, tell me more.
Okay, so everyone else is from a neighborhood called Mountain Brook, and I'm from a neighborhood. I grew up in Bluff Park. So,
okay, cool.
Originally, when we started, it was just Alec and I, and so we were like a duo, and that kind of fit the like folksy duo vibe kind of thing. And as people kept joining, we just kept adding.
They were all Brookies. So it just worked.
All right. Yeah.
And there's a lot of overlapping ways how we all know each other. Like,
yeah,
that is my brother, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to say. I didn't want to assume. Yeah. You know, but I was like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And and Fred and Alec grew up next door to each other.
Yeah.
So there's just like this big like
They go way back.
Way backness of this band.
Literally big happy family. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you guys still play together. That's incredible.
So, it is so pretty wild.
Do you think it's been
all that playing?
Do you think that has been a benefit, a challenge, or both, being so close and like knowing so much about each other with trying to create music?
I think definitely a benefit initially and just always, because we know each other, or especially the four of them, like just kind of have an inherent like ability to know each other like really well before they even started playing together. So I feel like once you start to play music together, that bond is just like already there. So we're just a little bit tighter just because of it. So I think, I think the like friendship and the literal family.
The knowing each other is a huge benefit for the travel portion of it, because that's such an exhausting, you know, trying kind of thing. And it's like the fact that we know how to, you know, be friends without getting in each other's spaces, without like, you know, getting on each other's nerves or anything because of how well we know each other, like that makes all the difference in the world.
We have never gotten on each other's nerves.
Never.
Not
one
single,
time.
Not one
not
time.
A single
not
time. That's wonderful news. I totally believe you too. 100%. Yeah. That is not made up at all.
I mean, do families ever get on each other's nerves? Absolutely not. I've never been pissed off at my mom.
Never.
No healthy families do.
No. Especially not, you know, rock bands. And no. So, like, that's, we all are just naturally the healthiest individuals on the planet, as far as I'm aware.
This is this is peak human performance.
you may not like it, but this is what peak human performance looks like. Yeah,
it did make the getting to know you period much easier, though.
Sure.
Yeah. When everyone joined, it was like we already... It was comfortable already because we knew them. So.
Yeah, except for me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But we knew each other. The front man? Like, that's interesting. How did that happen?
The F-dog.
Well, Alec and I were in a band our freshman and sophomore year of college at Auburn. And then it was like covers, and we had one of the songs that would end up on our first EP. And then we just kind of, like, that band just wasn't super serious, fell apart, and then we wanted to keep it going, so.
Sure.
So, I knew Alec really well. We were already really, really close by the time everybody else started joining. I met John also our freshman year in chamber choir.
Whoa.
Chamber
choir boys.
Choir boys, chamber all choir. Of us. Except you. Kevin, are you a choir boy?
I actually took choir for 4 semesters in college, but...
Yeah,
it checks out.
Actually, me and John did in like sixth grade for one year.
It didn't last,
and then we
long.
Quit that. But then later, I came back and did a little bit more choir. So I should probably start singing in the band. But
probably. I think so.
That's the final step in the band.
The final countdown.
Final evolution.
I've not begun to peak yet.
No.
Yeah. So. Choir. That's just a new one for me. Everyone's a choir boy. I'm not used to this.
Absolutely.
This is so confusing. But when you guys started playing together, though, like, was there a moment where you had to just kind of like, hey, we're actually going to do this. We're not just going to joke around in the garage. Or did you just kind of slowly progress like, hey, all of a sudden we're playing Farewell Fest, I guess. So how did that happen?
Yeah, there was a very specific, what John likes to call a DTR, define the relationship.
Yeah. There was the slow progression for a while.
It was. Alec and I were kind of like, not necessarily kicking tires, but we were playing cover gigs and like we had some songs, we had recorded them, but
like, we recorded 3 songs, and I put them on SoundCloud the night that we recorded them with no mix.
Didn't mix it.
It was our first acoustic, like, kind of release. So we didn't really have a plan, and we wanted a drummer. And so, like, we kind of were slowly adding. And so then John, at a point after we added John, we had a DTR.
Yeah, I saw them play as an acoustic duo at a bar in Auburn and was like, I got to be a part of this somehow. And so I asked if they, you know, needed a drummer or anything like that. And they were like,
at the gym.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I ran into Alec at the gym. He was doing deadlifts.
Crushing. Crushing. Yeah, kindly came over to help me.
And I walked up to him and I was like, hey, that was a sweet gig the other night. If you ever need a drummer, hit me up.
Right.
And then he did.
Also, your backgrounding, knock it off.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah. And so our first gig as a trio together was like right after the Iron Bowl. It was the night of the Iron Bowl where Alabama plays Auburn. Big football game in the
big
South.
Game.
Yeah. And then
the biggest, some would say.
The definite biggest. And then we just like kind of played together for a few months. But then it got to a point where I realized like, oh, okay, we can actually, like, we're making a little bit of money. You can actually do this. And then I heard the original songs that Joseph and Alec had been working on. And I was like, oh, these are sweet. And it kind of clicked in my head. I'm like, I've always wanted to pursue music, but it felt like it was like the perfect time with the perfect people to do it. And so I had to call them and I was like, do you guys like, because like we had all, like, I had a full-time job waiting on me and I didn't know whether this was going to be like a serious, like, let's go after this thing. So I called and, you know, asked if they wanted to find the relationship.
And we did.
You said, hey, we need to talk.
Oh no.
In Alec's parents' basement.
And we had the talk.
Yeah. And then so like, we kind of like, the three of us kind of decided then like, all right, we're going to go for it. We needed a bass player. We went through a few before we found Fred, and then Fred in 2007, towards the end of 2017, joined us. And
nice.
Then we roped Kevin. We stole Kevin.
Yeah.
Wrangled him.
Wow.
Yes.
How are you wrangled exactly? Explain the wrangling.
Rope. Well, so yeah, John obviously is my brother. Mm-hmm. And he's in this awesome band, The Brook and the Bluff, and me simultaneously grew up playing piano and just being a huge fan of music in general. Went to college for music, classical music actually, and then I started playing in a series of different bands in Tuscaloosa, which is where I went to school. Like, I was in like a funk band, like an 80s rock band, and then eventually they hit me up and they were like, we're playing this gig in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky, opening up for this band Judah and the Lion. They were like, you want to come play keys with us? And I was very pumped on that. And so, yeah, I came up, played that gig. And then that was kind of the genesis of it. And ever since then, I've just been playing with them.
You were wrangled.
And now I'm a full member.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Fully roped.
Fully roped.
It took a bit, too. We had to play the long game, but we eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, I mean, Kevin's the best keyboard player in the whole planet, so it had to happen.
I get it.
I'm just happy to be here. How did your families, like,
I'm just here so I don't get
accept
fine.
That? When you guys were like, hey, you were like, I got a full-time job I could be doing. I'm going to go do a band. I'm sure they were like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Or how did that go?
I mean, I think maybe it went a little different for each of us.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, I think initially my parents were like a little skeptical, as like parents are and maybe should be if your son is like, hey, I'm going to drop this full-time job and do this thing. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think it like, yeah, I think it took me maybe proving a little bit like, okay, like, you know, this thing is moving along and we can do this. I'm not on the side of the street, like, you know, like we're like making enough to live.
Sure.
So, yeah, but then,
which is a feat in this industry.
It totally is. Yeah.
I mean, we're getting there.
I feel like you can like, yeah, you like feel like you're at the beginning for a long, long time.
Yeah.
But then, like, sometimes when you just pause and like look back at the last 5 or 6 years, you're like, oh, we have come some way, you know,
definitely for
distance.
I'm not at liberty to say who because I wasn't given permission, but there's a very, 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 very successful metal artist that relayed that same thing to my friend. He's like, it feels like a house of cards, and this person should not feel like that. They're very, very, they're legends, you know, and they still feel like it's all about to just crumble at any moment.
It's
not like
healthy,
any,
you gotta have a healthy bit of that.
Sure.
A tiny dose.
I feel like no one day is much different than the one before it. So like
a day 5 years ago where we were way further back felt just kind of like we were doing the same thing we're doing today, you know, because we were. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean,
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's weird. It's different than like getting a job where they're like, oh, here's your salary. Here's like a whole, you can plan out your future. It's much more like incremental and like a slow build. So yeah, I don't know.
Or the opposite.
And to me, like the coolest, like tangible evidence of growth. Cause like, yeah, we do have to kind of take a step back and realize that there is some, well, and there's obviously like, you know, Spotify data numbers, but for me, when we see our crowds get bigger and more excited, that's so like whenever we get to go on tour, I'm really reminded like, okay, this is becoming something fantastic, you know, on maybe gonna eventually become something bigger than us, you know. But yeah, that's like that. Right. That to me makes.
I think it already is.
I think I'd say it already is bigger than us.
Well, it is bigger than us.
I think it's bigger than us.
I'm gonna give the mic back now.
I feel like the first time you hear people singing your words, I feel like that.
Yeah,
I will never forget the first night like we played an original show and people started singing and I was like, oh, okay, like we have to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
As long as people are doing that, we like can't. We got to do this.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That first inkling when like when you see people who you don't know singing your songs is wait, we don't know you. And so you should all know this song. Yeah. So.
Mom? You know that? No, that's not you. Yeah. Now that's got to be an insane feeling. It's a weird, this is not the same thing, and I've said this on the podcast many times, but the fact that I'm even here right now doesn't make a lot of sense to my brain. I'm going like, huh? But at the same time, if I stood back and looked at it analytically, I'm like, oh, I can trace it from point A to point B. But I can't mentally process it sometimes. Yeah. So
like you don't feel the baby steps as they're happening. And you look back and you're like, oh, I'm like kind of maybe walking.
Yeah, or when people are like, oh, who's been on the podcast? Because they want to, you know, you want to try to get into the festival or something. Yeah. And so you're just like, well, this person is, I guess I have done some cool stuff.
Yeah.
But it's it's got to be like even harder to see, I think, because like mine's all data and numbers and messages. And so like seeing it, the crowds incrementally grow has got to be a really weird, like a weirder, like a, I'm not sure what the word is, but like it almost seems slower in some ways because you're doing it day in and day out and seeing faces and seeing faces. And pretty soon you're like, wait a minute, there's a couple thousand people out there. Yeah. What's going on right now?
Yeah. It's definitely the progression. I mean, like, I can like remember like playing like specifically Raleigh, North Carolina. We like would do it at the beginning and we did it three times. And the first time there was three people. The second time there was 12 people. And then the third time we did it, there was like 100 people. Whoa. I was like, oh, heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, and it's just like, just kind of like those little moments where you're just, it keeps you, like you said, hungry. Like it
keeps just you like going. Really, but it's a weird thing. One of those nights we played to seven people in Raleigh, the night before we had played like one of our biggest shows in Nashville. There was like 100 people, but it felt like incredible.
Yeah.
And then we drove all the way to North Carolina and 4 to 5 people showed up and we were like,
what is
this? In those moments, you're like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
I'm not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, it's so strange. But gotta.
Everybody does
it. Everybody does it, yeah.
Yeah. We're definitely some road dogs.
Road dogs.
We have been in the van.
Seasoned by the road.
Seasoned by the road.
Suffered. What flavor do you think that gives exactly? The road seasoning? Is that like Montreal steak seasoning?
You know, it's like Tony Satcheries.
Yeah.
A little Tony Satcheries, maybe.
It's kind of like how your grill outside has been catching
Tony's
juice and seasoning from like years of just like
juices.
Yeah, like that's what it feels like.
Don't wash the cast iron skillet, okay?
Absolutely.
It'll wear off the road grease. So, I like to ask this of people who have spent a lot of time on the road because obviously a lot of musicians listen to this. Primarily musicians, but not exclusively, as I found out, which is kind of weird.
but
cool. So what advice do you have as road dogs for aspiring road dogs or current road dogs that are still trying to figure it out?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just try and be that road dog. Play as much as possible in places that will, anywhere that will like
try and identify you with. Identify with that dog in you?
Identify with the dog.
Are we talking about road? So road,
you got
pups.
That dog in you?
Yeah, and I
don't know. I mean, I think a really practical one, if you're like in a long van tour, is like treating yourself well, like treating your body well,
and with just nacho cheese, like chips,
Lunchables,
Taco quesadillas from Taco Bell,
cold beer,
Stephen cold beer,
Stephen cold beer,
cold Stevens, as cold we like to call them.
I like that.
We're coining it.
That's beautiful. that's on tape. Is that? Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you, Stephen cold beer. My brain can't process anything else
right
now.
Shouts to him.
That really, really. I'm sorry, interrupted.
Yeah.
But taking care of yourself, probably not in the way that we actually meant. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, physically, like trying to, like, eat healthy.
Mentally as well.
And exercise. I feel like it does make a difference. But it's also really easy to, like, sink into, like, oh, we're playing at a dive bar every night. And it's like,
I'm going
to
eat this burger.
Just, and, like, we get off late. And then you go get late night food. And, like, you know, you can easily sink into a thing, which you can do.
And I would say.
But it's all about balance.
I would say moderate. Yeah. I would say you honestly should do something.
You should.
Yeah. A little bit.
Because sometimes you need a pizza after a
and
show.
A cold Steven.
And a cold Stevie.
Exactly. Yeah. You always need a pizza. Always.
But you don't want to run and have a salad the next day.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Or a sweet potato.
Sometimes you need a 25-ounce cold Steven.
Cold Steven.
Cold Steven.
Treat yourself. Yeah. Yeah. Take care of yourself.
So,
I was told 20 minutes. Is that the true runtime we have, or can we go for like 3 days?
Dude, we're hanging. We're real road dogs.
My record's 4 hours.
Our work
so I don't know.
4 hours.
We want to do 4 hours?
I don't know if we'd be in for 4 hours.
We got Gary Clark in 1 hour.
We got Gary Clark in 1 hour. Yeah. Okay.
And when did the infamous string dusters play?
Oh, I think they were at like.
They might have gone at 6:30.
Yeah.
Oh, they're already playing?
Maybe
they were sound checking next to us, and they sounded incredible.
Man, so that's the way these festival things go. Well, what we'll do is we'll ask the final questions,
okay,
and then maybe we'll try to reschedule for a full meal deal
in depth,
in the future. Yeah, you know, maybe next time I'm in Nashville or
100%.
Something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this is normally an hour long show, but you know, festival life and all that.
Oh,
so
cool. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay, let's do that. All right. So the final question is: speaking of pizza, it's literally.
Oh yeah.
What is your favorite kind of pizza?
Kind.
Are
of
we
pizza.
Talking like
styles?
Style. Or like
places.
Take it
Let's
away.
Go, so as detailed as you want to be.
This is on the top of my head because it's something that's changed about me as I've gotten older. Mm-hmm. I love a thin crust pizza.
Yeah.
That's never been a thing for me, but like from Domino's or Papa John's, I don't know if it's like, I think it's a texture thing that I like more. Yeah. I kind of like having a bit of like a cracker under all the meat and the cheese.
Sure.
And the,
so you mean like legit thin crust, not like Neapolitan?
Yes.
Or is that of the same?
No, I do mean legit thin
like
crust.
Davenport's.
And
shouts
also, pineapple belongs on a pizza.
I don't know about
that.
Out there.
That's insane.
It totally does.
Firmly not
and
in
I
that
will, camp. I will say. Listen, at Fred Dead Redemption 2, hop into my DMs and talk to me about this.
Firmly against that.
I'm against it as well. I've been against it on record for like 9 years before the internet made it popular and cool.
We will be on the right side of history.
No way, dude. Not happening.
For me, so there's a specific, my favorite pizza in the world is Prince Street Pizza in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the Detroit style square,
mm-hmm.
thick, the little pepperoni cups.
Like, I love the little
pepperoni. They got little grease pools, and they're just so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably my favorite. I think there's also some good pizza in Nashville.
There is.
That we like. Smith and Lentz has
love
a good
Smith
pizza.
And Lentz. Yeah, absolutely.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Great pizza.
They're like hot
Five.
Honey, pepperoni
it.
Pie.
Mm-hmm.
Take it
Five
to prom.
Points is great.
It's insane.
Yep, absolutely.
5 points pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe like Big Slice is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Big Slice
yeah.
and like that Detroit style,
a
I would
big
probably
old
say.
Slice. Oh my gosh, what was that Big Slice in D.C. that
that's
we got one time?
Was it literally called Big Slice?
I think it was called like Big, yeah. Like,
I feel like the most excited I've ever been for a piece of pizza is
the Big Slice.
Colossally big slices yeah. that you
yeah.
get.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
At three.
I think something that all of us agree on, and I'm not sure, we adore the city of Chicago, not into deep dish pizza.
That would,
I'm just saying that.
I love all kinds of pizza.
Okay, never mind. Never mind. I don't speak
I was
for
actually
everybody.
About to say my favorite kind of pizza is a Chicago deep dish pizza.
Oh.
With lots of meat on it. I mean, I'm an animal. I'll just eat anything.
I'm an animal.
It's, yeah, I mean, every time I've been there, it's been mind-blowing.
Lou Malnati.
Lou Malnati.
Oh, man.
To each their own, though.
Yeah.
Also, side note, have you had Skyline chili?
No, I haven't. No. Okay. I know about it.
I just same. I know about it, and it sounds strange.
I'm so scared.
I'm terrified.
I could eat it. I could. I don't crave it, but I'm like, I could get down on that.
Yeah. I feel like at some point, I'm gonna have to try it, but I am scared of it.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared of eating it sober, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I would not do that. Yeah,
that is perfectly manageable. We can fix that very easily. We have the technology.
Stephen Colbert's.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Colbert's.
Libby Bronson's.
Uh-huh.
All of them.
Well, guys, I'm going to go eat some pizza.
Yeah.
Right, I found there's some pretty good slices. So
okay, cool.
I found some.
Out there?
They were out way in the back.
Okay.
By the tacos.
Love
Amazing.
It.
Amazingly enough.
Yeah, so,
I was like, those look legit. All right, let's get in there. But yeah, we'll reconvene when we have a little more time. I think that'd be great.
Let's do
absolutely.
It
absolutely.
Fun.
Yeah. Let's do it in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see you
I'll
then.
Probably be there maybe in the fall.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
We shall see what
we will be
when
on
I'm
the
needed.
Road.
We will be on the road. A lot of the fall, but maybe
I'm also in Portland. That's my
We'll be in Portland.
Hey.
I don't know what the day is exactly, but I should know. It's in September, yeah.
It's in September. We can't plug it because we don't know, but it's in September. Bro, go look it up.
Figure it out.
Go look it up.
It's on our Instagram somewhere.
Brookandbluff.com/tour.
There we go. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, fellas. I really enjoyed this.
Thanks for having us.
Yep.
As always, stay in the tone zone.
That's not the catchphrase. I've got my own catchphrase. Don't try to insert.
What's your catchphrase?
The way I wrap this up is I say... For Blake and for the Brook and the Bluff, as always, folks, good luck and good tones.
And good tones.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's great.
Whoa, there that's a go. Lot to deal with. It's Blake and the Brook and the Bluff. I like it.
Cool. That was
Heck
fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sweet.
That was fun.
Really no
fun.
Problem. That was a good time. There you have it, folks. There is your extra episode this week. There's one more coming up right behind this one. I'm uploading it, well, you know, probably not as you listen to this, but. It's uploaded. It's there for you. Go check it out. I think you're going to enjoy that conversation as well. I sat down with Calder Allen to discuss his songwriting story, how fly fishing is a huge part of his actual creative process. It's a pretty great episode. I really enjoyed that as well. And again, huge shout out to Farewell Fest. Thank you for having me out. And I hope to come out again this summer, hopefully. We'll see what happens. But thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you to the band, Brook and the Bluff, for sitting down. And without further ado, why don't you go to the next episode? There's another one there for you. Thank you very much, folks. Keep it classy, and I'll talk to you on the internet very, very soon. One last thing before we totally sign off here. I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things, and by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings. So why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say... based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately, and if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to gunstreetwiringshop.com and check them out.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the corner of Gray Street.